Your energy is gone, your hunger is loud, and your plans aren't feeding you. So what are you still doing here? Cool off with a refreshing large Big Gulp drink at 7-Eleven. Cold, refreshing, and made the way you like it. It's available at 7-Eleven and just 59 cents with 7 rewards. Visit your local Columbus 7-Eleven and satisfy that craving today. Valid through 6/23/26. While supplies last, participating stores see app for full terms.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Everybody, welcome to this mini-sode, Hear No Evil, See No Evil, Speak Some Evil, where we're going to give you some updates on some past episodes. Some things have come to light in the last few weeks, and we want to give you an update on some things we've covered.
Yes, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
First one up, we got an update on our Golden Juice Award first-time winner, O.J. Simpson.
Oh, Lord. So apparently O.J. Simpson's former manager, Norman Pardo, says that OJ did not act alone. He says that he has definitive proof and he is in the development of a new docuseries that supposedly will bring to light evidence once and for all that will prove OJ did not act alone
in the killing of his ex-wife.
And also
Nicole
Ron Goldman.
Brown Sinsman. And yes, and Ron Goldman.
And also apparently he and his producers are pitching this to premium cable networks and streaming services with the idea that they'll basically get to make kind of like an OJ, the one on ESPN. Basically, the truth will get out there.
I, for one, can't wait, and I will definitely watch this series.
And it matters and it doesn't matter because he's already been tried for the crime, so sure, he can't be tried again. But it's good that we will have definitive answers.
And I just find that case to be fascinating, so anything that comes out about it, I usually watch. I believe OJ is episode 2 and 3.
No. That's Golden State Killer. It's 3 and 4.
Four and five.
4 and 5.
So if you want to go back and listen to those episodes, they are episode 4 and 5.
And when that docuseries comes out, you know we're going to watch it.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, and probably do a mini-sode about it.
Definitely.
So the next update we have for you is about the Dyatlov Pass incident. This was episode 14 that we did. So apparently now, Valentin Degtyaryov, a longtime Dyatlov Pass investigator, claims he has found a previously unknown crater approximately 30 meters in diameter, about 3 kilometers from the location of the pass on the eastern side of the mountain, Dead Mountain as it's called. Degtyaryov concluded he was looking at the remnants of a weak nuclear explosion, which turned rocks in the area to a reddish glass. Military testing of nuclear weapons or a crash of an errant nuclear missile has been one of the theories presented to explain, in particular, why traces of radiation were found on some of the clothing of the victims and their bodies, and why some of the bodies mysteriously had orange skin and gray hair.
That's what one of them's sister said. There's no way that the elements could have done that. Ooh,
yes.
A nuclear blast.
Mm-hmm. Also, the site was immediately sealed off, and the records were suppressed by the Soviet government, hinting at a cover-up of a secret military operation or accident.
That's true. If they messed it up and they accidentally crashed a missile, then they probably...
Oh, yeah, they're going to cover that
shit up. One time Uncle Jerry accidentally crashed a missile in Colorado. What?
Why did he... What was he doing with a missile?
Mashing buttons at his army base, it turns out. And he's like, well, we couldn't find it until the snow melted.
But it didn't hurt anybody?
It didn't hurt anybody. It just landed in the middle
well,
of the
mountains. Well, then, this is seeming more and more like a very probable cause.
Exactly.
Well, a nuclear explosion, even a weak one, would have dispersed radiation on all of the equipment and their clothing and affected all of their bodies, which is kind of why these series have been discounted. While the Soviet government was indeed highly secretive and controlling, its eventual demise resulted in all of the records being released, and none indicated a nuclear explosion.
Well, counterpoint. And they shredded it all.
Oh, yes, yes. They covered it all up. Degtyaryov, though, seems to have found something he believes can only be explained by a nuclear explosion. And there's actually a video of this that we'll post on our Instagram that shows an image at about 56 seconds that he's talking about. So it's winter right now in the Urals, so he won't be able to mount an expedition to really see what's going on until spring when everything melts. It seems strange with the amount of investigating that has already taken place in and around the pass that no one has found it before. Again, though, the nuclear option doesn't really explain all the unusual injuries we talked about in the episode, the broken bones without an external wound, the missing tongues and eyes, or the report by another group of hikers about 50 kilometers away who claimed they saw strange orange spheres in the sky that night.
Ooh.
But there's something to be said for this. It's very interesting.
It's super interesting, but like, why would they cut the inside of the tent out? Like, why wouldn't you just unzip and run? Like, I don't know.
Well, maybe they heard it crash.
And they were like trying to get out.
And they just panicked. Yeah.
Well, that's true too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still think it was the abominable snowman.
Yes. It was the Russian Yeti.
Always interesting, though, whenever anytime new information comes out on something like this, it's like an unsolved mystery. We want to know about it. So.
Of all the episodes we've done, that one ranks up there with the one that I was legitimately creeped out by the most.
Yeah, because you just cannot figure out what happened to them.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
And that
was a listener suggestion on that article. So thank you so much.
Yes, Daniel Alter, very nice guy and friend, sent us this article to give us an update on this. So shout out to him for keeping us updated on everything.
If you see anything, send it to us. The next one we want to cover is Congregation for the Light, which was episode
16. Yes.
And
New York Manhattan-based cult.
Yes, the New York Manhattan-based cult that only lets you take vacation in August and makes you have owls in your house and doesn't let your kids go to school.
Yeah.
So
and
we have
Tom. Is it Tom that's their leader?
Yes, and he's in charge. Well, we had an Instagram follower and friend of the podcast, well, a listener, send us a message, and she said don't use her name, but she did say she has a friend that's in that religion and that some of the things that the article and the information we used for the episode, which is from a disgruntled former member, she claims that her friend that's in it is not really in a cult. Like, they can leave anytime they want, that they're super nice and generous. They don't have owls in their house. They take vacations outside of August. She said that, you know, maybe there is something kind of secretive because I guess she's technically a no-not and her friend is in the religion, but that the daughter goes to college. They don't marry them off. They haven't seen that. So she was saying that. And she asked her friend, you know, like, well, do you really believe that people were born without belly buttons in the lost city of Atlantis? And the friend was like, well, I don't know what you're talking about at all. So I wonder if, you know, they're on some, like, maybe a branch of it that's taken the good part and extracted the bad part. But it was very...
Which is like every religion.
Yeah. And I said, you know, you can know someone that was a Scientologist and that while they're in it, even they aren't really, like, trying to make people, you know, recruit people and make others suppressive.
Sure.
You know,
they're in it because they genuinely believe in bettering the earth or whatever
the
main message might be.
But I really appreciated the firsthand experience that she had and the firsthand knowledge she was willing to share. And I told her, you know, thanks for sending that because we can only go by what's been published.
Yeah.
And that was an anonymous blog and then multiple articles interviewing this guy and some photos. But mostly like the paperwork, you know, you can't get a hold of because Tom keeps it in a box somewhere. Mm-hmm. But it was interesting to hear another side of it, I guess, that
definitely.
Maybe this is a religion that's just being demonized by a former member.
Yeah.
Or maybe this is a disinformation campaign. No, I'm just kidding. I'm still in that area.
Maybe her friend's really trying to brainwash her into thinking this cult is the best thing that's ever happened.
And it's just a trap. No, I've just been, we were talking about Area 51 conspiracy. So I think everything's a conspiracy. So,
but along the same lines, like if any of you have ever witnessed or been part of firsthand any of the stuff we talk about, we'd love to hear a different point of view.
Absolutely.
Any cults or if you were, you know, if you were there when JFK, if you were one of the people like watching the motorcade go by when JFK was assassinated, like hit us up.
Fun.
We would love to have you on and talk about that stuff.
I was going to say, funny you should say that. So our JFK episodes were episodes 25 and 26. I had a friend tell me that she interacted with a gentleman who was a retired Dallas police officer and that he told her that he was working the day that JFK was shot and was brought in to the Warren Commission. And they basically, he and all of the police buddies were completely sure that there were multiple shooters from multiple angles. They were all out there when it happened, and he was brought in to testify before the Warren Commission that his testimony was consistent with that of his peers, and that at the time, three people were recording his testimony. It was a stenographer, someone taking shorthand, and an audio recorder. And what would happen is you would testify, and then they would prepare your testimony, written, like your oral testimony. They would create a written version, they bring you in, let you read the written version, give you a pen, and say, mark out what you don't think is accurate and correct it. And the officer got in, read what he supposedly had said, and said, this is nothing like what I said. This isn't even close to my testimony. What? And he basically put a big X through it. And they say, mark out the things you don't agree with and correct them and then sign it. And he said, I'm not going to sign this because it's not even close to what I originally said. And they're like, well, we must have had some typos. He's like, it's not a typo. You rewrote
what I said.
Exactly. You rewrote what I said. And he went back to the station and asked his buddies, and they said the same thing. And some of them were like, I didn't sign it. And he's like, I didn't sign it either. And they still used their testimony for the warrant.
Even though they didn't sign it.
Because, I mean, what are you going to do? Go against the federal government? But they had all said,
Well, also, they don't give a shit if you sign it or not. They're using whatever they want to use.
Exactly. And so he said he was like so sure that that was not his testimony. And he's like, there's no way they could have misheard it. They just made it up.
Yeah.
So that was firsthand. Well, for me, third hand now, because it was a friend told me about her interaction with that man. But yeah, it's super interesting. Another friend of the podcast / co-designer of our logo, Franklin, was talking about when he was a kid that they would visit Lee Harvey Oswald's grave, which is in Fort Worth.
It's a nice family trip.
Yeah, he and his mom would like talk to Lee Harvey Oswald's wife, and she maintained his innocence. So
how did they meet her?
I guess she lives around there. I don't know. Maybe she hangs out at the
I don't know if she's still alive. Is Franklin's mom a conspiracy theorist junkie?
I don't think so. And she's not still around, but I don't think she was a conspiracy theorist junkie. I don't know. Maybe she was paying homage to,
hey,
I don't know.
There you go.
But fascinating stuff. Thank you, Franklin, for sending that.
I kind of want to go out there. Did you ever, when you were...
Because Franklin was like, oh yeah, next to Lee Harvey Oswald is a thing that says, a gravestone that says Nick Beef. And I was like, this is the best.
All right, well then we're definitely going. When you were in elementary school, did you go on field trips to cemeteries and do grave rubbings?
No.
Was this something that only I did?
Went to a religious school.
Yeah, that's true. You took these giant like pieces of paper, like butcher paper, and you put them over the grave, and then you took like charcoal or crayon or whatever, and you like rubbed on it, and then on the and then it would like make the imprint
we did
of
that
the grave
for...
on the paper. Now that I'm saying this out loud, why were we doing
this? Why would they bring a bunch of kids to a cemetery?
I don't know.
I remember doing that in Washington, D.C. on a field trip, that we did it for like sculptures, like statues. Like it was like, you know.
I think it was a historical cemetery that had like graves from who knows when.
Famous.
Yeah. Or just like even like the 1500s or something crazy like that. But that's still kind of a dark, macabre field trip to take your class on. And now that I'm saying this out loud, was this a fever dream?
No,
happen? I don't remember a lot from my childhood, which we've talked before. Like, I don't know why. It wasn't like traumatic. I just can't remember a lot. But I have a vivid memory of this, so I'm pretty sure it did happen.
Probably did. Oh, my gosh. Well, also send us a message if your elementary school ever made you go to a cemetery. And
maybe you happen to have gone to elementary school with me, and please tell me if this really did happen.
Like, go out there and rub some gravestones, kids. But I don't want to, Principal Smith. That's our updates. We, at the end of December, we're going to do a Golden State Killer update with all of the stuff that's happened so far and the pretrial situation
and
all that
stuff. And the NXIVM update. There's been some updates for that as well.
For the NXIVM case as well. So that'll be a little bit more legal based, but this was just a little FYI and especially with JFK was so recently.
Yeah.
It's funny because once you have an episode, everyone's got, oh man, this happened to me or my mom did this or so, personal story. So we appreciate those. Like I said,
we love them.
If you see us walk in the halls of Dallas Comedy House or on the street or whatever, just stop us. And
I can't wait to be stopped on the street because somebody has recognized me from the podcast. That is my dream. Like, if you're like, oh, this is gonna weird her out if I go up to her, it won't. It'll make my day. So please feel free to come up to me and say, like, are you Christy, one of the co-hosts from Sinisterhood?
Yeah, or like if people send messages on Instagram, I'm like, they're like, sorry to bother you, I just want to tell you this. I'm like, you're never bothering me ever.
I will see a notification on my phone and drop what I'm doing. respond to someone because I'm so excited that someone, like, that we don't know messages. Yes, even when people we do know messages, that's exciting, too.
Yeah. But we just like friends.
Yeah, we just like people that like what we're doing.
Yeah.
For real, though, we do. And if you do like what we're doing, hit us up on Facebook. You can like us on Sinisterhood. You can also follow us on Twitter or Instagram at Sinisterhood Pod. You can follow Heather at Twitter. Damn it. Have we tried to do this a minute ago on our other minisode? So we have two minisodes that are coming out today. The other one is Heather's recent trip to the Dallas Psychic Fair, and then our episode about Area 51. And we tried to do each other's social media.
Let's just do our own.
But I forgot what they were.
It's okay.
So I can be found at Twitter at Christy or GTFO, and on Instagram at Christy M. Wallace.
I'm on Instagram at Heather vs the World, Heather versus the World, or Twitter is MCK vs the World.
There it is.
And then you can like and subscribe and rate us on iTunes. That's super nice. Or wherever you get your podcast, Stitcher, all that good stuff. And also tell a friend. That's even more helpful. Or tag us on social media or tag a friend on our post just so that they can know about it.
Yeah.
It's super fun.
Right before we started recording this, we noticed we had several more iTunes reviews, and those also make us so happy, and it helps us out a lot and how we get bumped up in the ratings on that. So thank you so much if you have left us a review.
It's super nice. We appreciate it. And definitely check out our other episodes, and we will catch you next week.
Yes, as always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Sinister.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.